Hello and welcome to the 16th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, DFG and Mike, and today I'm joined by Christopher from Chicken Pop Pod. Hello.
Woohoo! What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Today we're going to be discussing DuckTales. This week is...
Woohoo! Sorry. Couldn't resist.
Yeah, this week is a Tooncast extravaganza. We have been on hiatus for a little while with this show, only because my regular co-host, Kevin, he's got some stuff going on in his life and he couldn't record. And in order for me to keep the schedule as far as holiday shows, because we're actually going to be talking about It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, on Halloween.
Awesome.
And in order to keep the Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas shows, you know, in line with those holidays, I've had to go ahead and record 3 episodes this week of the show.
Wow, you're booking it.
Yeah. Actually, between 2 toy casts, 3 toon casts, and 2 M-wires, it's probably the second highest content amount we've had since we've had, like, I don't know, over 8 or 9 shows that we do.
Wow.
I did
2 shows, and my brain is a little mushy.
Well, that's probably because you actually have a real job. I don't.
That's the problem. It's the work thing. I got to stop doing that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Or, you know, people could pay us to podcast. That would be great.
Hint, hint. Yeah. Did you hear that, people?
Yeah, send donations too. Da-da-da-da-da.
Pony up for this free entertainment, you cheapskates.
Yes, that's right.
There we go.
So what's been going on with you?
Bro, I'm just booking it, man. Like you said, I have a job, and I'm working it. And we just spun off another podcast, so I'm doing that, putting some attention towards that. The Folding Chair is a wrestling podcast, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. There aren't too many. When I was big into WWE a few months ago, I actually started back in on it at WrestleMania 23, and I've kind of like dropped off in it. I would first watch all 3 shows: Raw, ECW, and SmackDown. I stopped watching ECW. I ended up stopped watching SmackDown, and I catch Raw whenever I really can. I really don't pay that much. I pay very slow attention to it these days.
Yeah.
But, when I was first really big back into it, I was looking on iTunes for actual wrestling podcasts at the time, and there was one that was an interview show that got interviews with, like, Stone Cold and Randy Orton and John Cena and stuff like that, but I have the Folding Chair stuff on my iTunes. I just haven't given it a try yet. I will eventually.
You'll love it. You'll love it. Yeah. It's just like Chicken Pot Pod, just the content is wrestling. I just recently got back into it, and so I was a long-time wrestling junkie since, like, 85. Yeah. And a couple of the guys from Chicken Pot Pod and I just started kicking around and watching it again. We were like, let's just do it. So it's been a lot. If you like Chicken Pot Pod, you'll like the Folding Chair.
So, as I said before, today's topic is DuckTales, and we're going to get into the topic, so we'll be right back.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes, it's a duck blur. Might solve a
as we said in the intro, this is Tooncast episode 16, and for episode 16, we travel back once again to 1987 with DuckTales. DuckTales is an American animated television series produced by Walt Disney Television Animation, based on Carl Barks's Uncle Scrooge comic book series featuring the adventures of Scrooge McDuck and his nephews. The show premiered on September 18th. Wow, I almost said 1897. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's really old.
Yeah. 87 and ended on November 28th, 1990. So that is the history lesson, and we will go into the next segment, which is the general memories. This show, I think, and we'll talk about this once we get down to the music part of the show, but everybody knows this theme. I mean, people can sing this theme in their sleep.
Yep, no kidding. And they do.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, actually. this was a show that I liked because I liked the Disney characters. I like Donald Duck. I like Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Right.
I didn't really know that much about Scrooge McDuck. When I first started watching the show, I'm like, oh okay. So it's a rich uncle with, you know, a money vault who, you know, not many people have a vault full of gold coins.
Not in my neighborhood. What, Mark? I think my whole introduction to Dickens' Christmas Carol was Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Exactly.
And so I always thought of Scrooge McDuck as Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah.
And as old miser. And so it was a little bit of a brain twist for me to wrap my head around. I'm supposed to like this dude, and he's sort of a father figure here, and we're supposed to love him. So, but yeah, I loved it. That is a great cartoon. I remember running home from the bus stop every day to try and get there home by 4 so I could catch the intro and catch that brilliant theme song.
Oh, yeah, like I said, the...
Sorry. Yeah. It's in my head right now.
No, I know. It's more than fine. That was... the theme song was probably the best part about the show, and then eventually a few of the characters would actually spin off into Darkwing Duck with Launchpad McQuack.
Yep.
And Gizmo Duck made a few appearances on that show, which is actually the topic of episode 18, which will be after episode 17 is Tailspin. So the way I wanted to do these three episodes, episode 16 through 18, was the year release of each show. So DuckTales, Tailspin, and Darkwing Duck is the evolution of how those shows came about as far as by year. Just overall a really, really great show. I really don't have anything to complain about it, I don't think. So I think we are going to move on to the characters and voice actors. The main characters of the series who appear in almost every episode of Scrooge McDuck and his grandnephews Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Scrooge McDuck is a serious businessman, the richest duck in the world, and a tightwad who accumulated a fortune by being smarter than the smarties and tougher than the toughies. Despite his harsh business ethics, Scrooge is caring to his family. Huey, Dewey, and Louie are Scrooge's great-nephews who are left in his care during the entire length of the series. Although fairly hyperactive, the nephews are also clever and intelligent. The series also features a mix of established characters carried over from the comics as well as new ones created for the show. Scrooge's household also consists of his butler Duckworth, Mrs. Beakley, the nanny hired to look after Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and Webby Vanderquack, the granddaughter of Mrs. Beakley. Initially, the recurring characters included absent-minded inventor Gyro Gearloose, the heroic but not too bright pilot Launchpad McQuack, and the loyal but somewhat foolish Doofus Drake. During the second season, Bubba, a cave duck from the past, and an accountant, Fenton Crackshell, who had the dual identity of Gizmo Duck, were added to the cast. I'm not going to read the rest of it, other than just the primary villains here, or consist of Magic of Dispel, Flintheart, Glomgold, and the Beagle Boys. I always remember the Beagle Boys. They were kind of cool.
Yeah.
What they fail to mention in this, and you know, I'm sure I can look at the actual full cast of DuckTales characters, But they fail to mention in this brief synopsis of the characters is that Donald Duck was also in this, because Donald Duck is technically the first generation uncle of Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
So where are these children's parents? That's my question.
They died, probably. I don't know.
Some hunting accident. Someone shot their duck parents. Yes, because I remember, I believe it or not, my brain has retained basically the pilot episode or the origin story. Donald is getting shipped off to sea, and so he is entrusting to his Uncle Scrooge his nephews that he was the caregiver for. And so I don't know where these parents are.
No, I don't know either. But, you know, as the series progressed and as, because they kind of brought, Disney brought, after, I believe after DuckTales was over, they kind of bridged the gap between DuckTales and almost every other cartoon that they've done with these characters.
Right.
Kind of brought them into a family type aspect. I remember watching, it was either Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas or Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas on TV. And there was a story where it involved Scrooge, Donald, and Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and some of the other characters. So I think that generally that would be their family. I don't think it was ever said. In all the research that I've looked at for the show, I don't think it was ever told what...
Well, kids aren't thinking that far. That's a 31-year-old looking back on his childhood cartoon. And then the Webby... She didn't have any parents. She's living with Grandma, yeah?
Yep.
And she was mooching off Scrooge, just living at Grandma's workplace. That's perfect. Awesome. A little mooch. And then Doofus showed up out of nowhere. I like Doofus.
Yeah.
I knew a lot of kids that looked just like Doofus.
Oh, my God.
And talked like him. He was awesome. Wow. What was their scout thing? Remember, he was a... Was it a Junior Woodchuck? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Junior Woodchucks, yep.
Ah, yes. I remember that. Awesome. And I love... Launchpad is my favorite. he's absolutely my favorite character on DuckTales. He was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think outside of the theme and outside of Huey, Dewey, and Louie's pranks, the most I remember from this show is obviously Scrooge swimming in his money vault. Because who doesn't want to swim in gold coins?
Absolutely, and a lot of people broke their necks jumping into giant vats of coins. It never made sense to me. I was like, how is this guy doing the backstroke in money?
Yeah, it's animation.
Logic goes out the window. But yeah, that was his bank vault was awesome.
Yeah, very much so. And it was on its own hill away from the city, too.
Exactly. Can you imagine being one of the Huey, Dewey, Louie having to roll all those coins?
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Start rolling.
Wow. I don't know. I guess we can go into the voice cast. Stellar voice cast. Actually, I didn't actually look at the entire list after I copied it. Didn't even know that Peter Cullen was in this show as Admiral Grimmitz.
Yeah.
Huh. And then we have Frank Welker, who obviously does anything and everything according to Animal. played Big Time Beagle, and I'm not actually going to click on his name because it'll bring up his entire page. He played a bunch of other characters as well. You had Alan Young as Scrooge McDuck. You had Terrence McGovern as Launchpad McQuack. June Foray played Magic of Dispel. Tress McNeil played Cersei. Jim Cummings played the El Captain. Rob Paulsen was Gladstone Gander. Susan Blue is Mrs. Featherby. Just a ton of... Linda Gary was in this. Holy crap.
Alan Oppenheimer was in a few episodes.
Yep, Alan Oppenheimer, Corey Burton, Jack Angel. Wow. Let's see who else... just a ton of people that you just don't expect to be in. You don't expect a cast like this to go together. I mean, of course, you know, Corey Burton, Frank Welker, you know, all the Transformers people obviously go together, but it just doesn't seem like that they would go with the rest of the regular cast for a show like this.
Right.
I don't think in the entire history of our show here on Tooncast that any of either myself or Kevin or any of the other hosts that I've had on have completely disliked a voice cast. I mean, there may be one or two people that we don't like. Like, I know Kevin has a absolute hatred for Lynn Lipton, who played Chitara in Thundercats.
Yeah. Oh, she did fantastic.
Oh, boy. It's not an argument you want to start, dude.
Oh, dude. Well, pass along. Come on, dude. She was commissioned to do every female ever for one show. Talking about cheapskates, there you go.
Well, then again, he is a Silverhawks fan, so.
I do like Silverhawks.
Yeah. Just overall, great, great voice cast. Also, I should mention, even though it's down here under the production, another running gag that we have here on Tooncast is how many times we cover a show that Andrea Romano is either the dialogue director or voice director of. I mean, this woman has done so much. Pretty much almost every episode that we've done, she has been involved.
Really?
In the show, pretty much, yeah. So, overall, what do you think of the voice cast, just the overall ensemble thing?
I will say this. Disney cartoons, in general, hire very talented voice actors. You're not going to find a lot of... I like Chitara and everything, but you're not going to find that in a Disney cartoon. So they know what they're doing as far as voice talent. So pretty much if you name a Disney cartoon, especially this era, they're going to have a stellar cast. And because so a lot of their voices are so iconic. Yep. They're the same people that have been doing it for years. And so I noticed Peter Cullen did a few episodes. He was also he was in Chippendale Rescue Rangers. He was Monterey Jack.
Yep, we covered that when we did Chippendales a while ago.
But yeah, I don't know if he did any other cartoons or anything of Disney, but dude, I mean, it's a who's who in voice animation and animation voiceovers.
Oh,
yeah.
Pretty much any show you're going to get, any cartoon from the 80s to the 90s is going to be a huge who's who of voice actor talent of voiceover. So up next is the behind-the-scenes segment. This is kind of where we talk about the production and the writers and stuff like that. The series is notable for being the first Disney cartoon to be produced in syndication and paving the way for future Disney cartoons such as Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, and Tailspin. DuckTales also spawned two spin-offs, Darkwing Duck and Quack Pack. A world broadcast premiere television movie entitled The Treasure of the Golden Suns first aired during the weekend of September 18th to the 20th, 1987. Date and time varied by markets. Since then, it has been shown in the series' regular rotation as a five-part serial. A feature-length movie was released in theaters on August 3rd, 1990, the 100th episode, which was also the series' finale, aired on November 28th, 1990. The show was most successful of Disney's early attempts to create high-quality animation for a TV animated series. Earlier shows included The Wuzzles. Oh, I love that show. Damn.
I love the next one you're going
to
say.
Holy crap, that's I'm going to have to look that up after we get done with this, because that's probably going to be added into the Tooncast schedule. I completely forgot about that show. I had all those toys. Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears.
That is my favorite Disney series, is the Gummy Bears. Believe it or not.
I think Gummy Bears is, I think it's episode 50 that we're going to be
cool.
Gummy Bears, which is a long way off, seeing as how we're only on 16 now, but
right.
Yeah.
Call me.
Well, you know.
I love Gummy Bears.
Actually, it's funny, just on a side note to that, one of the forum members at PredaconEmpire.com/CafeSpark was complaining about the schedule when I originally... Normally, I want to give people knowledge of what we're going to be talking about just so they are like, oh, that's something I want to listen to or whatever, you know.
Right.
So I posted some of the schedule, and he's like, this guy's commenting, like, Gummy Bears, Care Bears, those are girls' shows. I'm like, dude,
hey.
I'm just saying what he wrote. I'm like, no, they're not. I watch Gummy Bears. I watch Care Bears.
I will punch you all. Come on, Gummy Bears had ogres, and that wasn't a girl. Now, Care Bears, okay, I'm with him. But Gummy Bears was not. Just because it had bears, come on.
Yeah.
They bounced.
Disney invested in a far greater amount of money into the TV series than had previously been spent on animated shows of the time. This was considered a risky move, because animated TV series were generally considered low-budget investments for most of the history of TV cartoons up through the 1980s. Most of the DuckTales episodes were animated in Asia by companies such as Cuckoo's Nest Studios, Wang Film Productions, oh, crap. Mentioned them before, holy crap, of Taiwan, and Tokyo Movie Shinisha. Oh, crap, Wang Film Productions. What the hell names their company Wang?
I wouldn't trust my children's animation to Wang Film Productions.
Oh.
can you animate this this cartoon for my kids? Sure. Awesome.
Many critics say that Disney's own animation studio had lost most of its luster during the period from Walt Disney's passing through the 1980s. However, the studio took a number of risks that paid off handsomely. The DuckTale, and DuckTales is one of those risks that won big. The studio gambled in the idea that a larger investment into quality animation could be made back through syndication, a concept that worked well with live-action TV reruns, but which had only been used with inexpensive cartoon series that either recycled theatrical shorts from decades past or only featured limited low-budget animation. The show was successful enough to spawn feature film DuckTales, The Movie Treasure of the Lost Lamp, and two spin-off series, Darkwing Duck and Quack Pack, like we said before. The success of DuckTales also paved the way for a new wave of high-quality animated TV series, including Disney's own The New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh in 1988. The 1989 series, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, was paired with DuckTales in an hour-long syndicated show through the 1989-1990 television season. And in 1990-1991 season, Disney expanded the idea even further to create the Disney Afternoon. Now, I did pull this up on Wiki since we've been talking about this. Pretty much, it had the Disney Afternoon was such a great way to show all the cartoons. It had Gummy Bears, DuckTales, Chippendales Rescue Rangers, Tailspin. Tailspin actually was presumably the first show created specifically for the Disney Afternoon. Some of the later editions were inspired by Sugar Cartoons in the first Turtle series, Raw Tunage, which appeared CBS Network in the fall. 1992, for example. What? Marsupilami.
Oh, wow. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it, but holy
crap. Okay.
Also, yeah, I remember that. That was a very weird show.
That one didn't fly.
Yeah, no, it didn't fly at all. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to DuckTales here. overall, great, great production aspects. There, as far as the writers or the directors, the only one I really recognize is Fred Wolf, which I don't, maybe because of Law and Order, I don't know. No, wait, that's Dick Wolf. I don't know. I recognize him from something else. I'm not really sure.
Fred Wolf is the name of a writer on SNL, or previous writer. I don't know if it's the same dude.
I don't know. And I don't recognize any of the actual series writing credits at all. So we're just not going to mention them, because they're not mentioning. So we're going to move into the actual show now. The show features the adventures of Scrooge McDuck and his great nephews. The nephews, who were originally living with their uncle Donald, are left in Scrooge's care when the former joins the Navy. Though Scrooge is the richest duck in the world, he constantly tries to find ways to increase his wealth. Many episodes involve protecting his wealth from villains who want to rob Scrooge of all his money. The prominent recurring antagonists in the show include the Beagle Boys and Magica Dispel, who are always finding ways to rob and swindle Scrooge and his nephews. Scrooge's nemesis in the show is Flintheart Glomgold, who will always try to devise plans to dethrone Scrooge McDuck from his richest duck in the world title. I think it was a great premise for this show. I mean, because for some odd reason, I always remember Scrooge at the end of nearly every episode, he would always have a redeeming quality, even though, yeah, he is this, you know, like you said, old miser, old rich old miser, like mine, me. Again, I always think back to Mickey's Christmas Carol, and, you know, he got redeemed in that.
Right.
You know, why wouldn't they redeem him in this?
Right. Yeah, I think something that was pretty cool is instead of just having the weekly battle between these, you know, Scrooge and one villain. There was sort of an array of villains. So it kind of kept it fresh every week. You didn't know if you're going to get magic of dispel going after Scrooge number one dime or Flint Heart in his awesome kilt.
Yeah, that was kind of...
Or Ma Beagle, which the guys from Chicken Pot Pod equate the Beagle Boys to the Fratellis in the Goonies somehow.
God.
Yeah, I don't know how they managed to pull that one off, but that's their equation. Do you remember the Beagle Boys when they had the big mech suits, the big robotic?
Yep.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was. Speaking of the Beagle Boys, the prison number for each of them is some combination of the numbers 1, 6, and 7, a holdover from Karl Barks' Uncle Scrooge comic books where identified only by their numbers.
I didn't know that.
And then, of course, we're kind of going into the trivia here. The series Tailspin was originally intended to be a DuckTales spinoff featuring Launchpad, hence the word tail in the title of that series. That would have been a... Tailspin would have been a very different cartoon if Launchpad was heading in, and it wasn't basically a rip... Not really a ripoff of Jungle Book, but it took characters from Jungle Book and put them into mainstream...
Yeah. Was Darkwing Duck before that?
No, Darkwing was after.
After, so they wanted to use him somewhere.
Yep.
Okay, cool. No, that would have been a totally different show.
Yeah, it would have. It goes DuckTales, Tailspin, and then Darkwing. As far as those three, I'm sure Chippendales is in there somewhere.
That was 89, I think.
Yeah, we had already covered it because we had did it right after our giant 4-hour He-Man episode, so...
4 hours? Wow, you guys are studs.
Well, 2 hours worth of voice content and 2 hours worth of DVD audio.
Got it.
Anyway, in Karl Barks' comics, the money is Scrooge's money bin is mostly silver and copper. Almost none of it is gold. That was weird. I couldn't find any goofs or mess-ups for this one. Overall, like I said before, this show was just great. Just, you know, I mean... I would show this to, if I ever have kids, I would show this to my kids.
Well, I was just actually thinking about earlier today when we were talking about DuckTales. I was like, I've got a 2.5-year-old. She needs to be introduced to DuckTales. So she's already, every time we get in the car, she's asking for my iPod to watch Muppet Babies. So I've already been corrupting her 80s cartoons anyway. So this is next on the list.
Oh boy. So we're going to move on to the music segment. The series theme song was written by Mark Mueller, an ASCAP award-winning pop music songwriter who also wrote the theme song to Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. Episode background music was written by composer Ron Jones. In contrast to how other composers were creating a patronizing and cute score for the show, Jones says... He composed the music with regard to the audience and its intelligence, which that's kind of good. And as we said, Ron Jones was the series' original music composer. Overall, you know, there aren't a lot of shows that have themes for everything. Like Thundercats is a show that has a theme for each character has a theme. The vehicles have themes, stuff like that. Had the theme where it had the intro theme, which is awesome. Anyone can remember that.
Right.
And then it had different musical cues throughout the show. I think they may have also even incorporated, like, part of the theme during part of the show, maybe, in each episode. I'm not really sure. I only watched a few episodes before we recorded this. I didn't really try to find the entire series. What did you think of the music?
I loved it. I think it's fantastic. I mean, like you said, it's so memorable. And, I mean, this is one of those theme songs. If you said, hey, sing an 80s theme song, this is going to be one of the first things out of people's mouths. So it's just iconic, catching, and it fit the bill. No pun intended. The bill.
Yes.
It's ducks. All right. That's stupid. Well, but, yeah, it's fantastic.
There is always the joke about the, what was it? A skunk, a deer, and a duck all go out to our restaurant. And afterwards, the skunk says, I don't have a cent. The deer says, I don't have a buck. So you know what they did? They put it on the duck's bill. So we are going to move on to the legacy segment. This show was referenced in a few things. I can only find a few. I couldn't find a whole lot. One was Tiny Toon Adventures, Best of Plucky Duck Day.
Mm-hmm.
Saved by the Bell, Pipe Dreams, The Last Days of Disco, Mystery Science Theater 3000, and HomeStarRunner.com, Everything Else, Volume 3. Oh, it was an Easter egg, okay. It was also done in The Simpsons, Revenge is a Dish Best Served Three Times in 2007. It was a spoof of the Count of Monte Cristo. The film, DuckTales, the movie Treasure of the Lost Lamp, was released wide in the United States on August 3rd, 1990 by Walt Disney Pictures. The film follows Scrooge McDuck and his nephews as they try to defeat the evil warlock Murloc from taking over the legendary magic lamp. For some odd reason, I remember that film, and I remember Glumgold being in it. They were chasing, the two of them were chasing after the lamp.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. He would. I mean, Glumgold ended up. He wasn't the main villain. It was this Murloc dude who was a shapeshifter, actually.
Yeah.
And he turned into this sort of griffin looking thing. kind of cool. And then they had this this hapless. I don't remember what his role was, but he was sort of a spy working for Murloc in the deal. So it was. I remember it. It was really good, actually. It was well done.
Oh yeah, it was very very well done.
And a lot of those kind of cartoons, I think a lot of 80s cartoons tried the whole motion picture thing. I don't know that this one did that well, but it was certainly a good adaptation. I mean, it felt like the cartoon.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you didn't, like, lose sight of the main characters either. They didn't, like, replace Huey, Dewey, and Louie with Joe Jr. and Joe Sr. They didn't replace any characters or take away from any of the original characters of the actual cartoon series.
Right. Yeah, it was really good.
A running gag here on Tooncast is the reception for each show that we cover, because Kevin and I have pretty much come to the conclusion that the people at IGN are dumb bastards. In 2009, IGN listed DuckTales as the 18th best show in the top 100 best animated TV shows of all time. These people ranked Mask 99. They ranked Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 87 series at 55.
Hmm.
You got to be kidding me, people. What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, that wouldn't be my list.
There were video and computer games for DuckTales, DuckTales video game, DuckTales 2, and DuckTales the Quest for Gold. I don't ever remember playing DuckTales video games.
Dude, I did. I played the heck out of those games.
I remember that they were there. I remember seeing them in Nintendo Power, but I don't ever remember.
Dude, both of them were phenomenal. They were basically the same game. So you're Scrooge McDuck. You're going to different places all over the world. So you go to it has a Mega Man feel to it. So your cane happens to be a pogo stick and your weapon, and it's really good. I encourage you to, you can actually go check out like a flash version of it on Nintendo8.com, I think it's called, Nintendo8.com. You can play it right down the site without an emulator. So definitely worth a play. They're pretty cool.
I think I remember it now that you're talking about it, but. Just, I remember playing more Mario and Zelda stuff.
It's actually, I think the first one I read that is one of Capcom's highest selling video games ever.
Oh.
Which is shocking.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's certainly where the Mega Man kind of vibe came from, is Capcom, so.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, considering there are a ton of Mega Man games, there were tons of comic books. I mean, I found like a whole bunch listed on Wiki. And I'm not really that, I'm into comics, but I'm not into these comics, so I don't think we're gonna like go through this entire list that I have, but, you know, Disney, I mean, I guess it's as good as time as any is to talk about this, but Disney really hasn't had success with comics. I mean, they've had that, they had that Disney Adventures magazine that you could find in grocery stores, and I'm sure that they licensed out their characters to actual comic companies, which obviously now they don't have that issue.
Right. Yeah, no, I think they'll be okay.
Fine.
I remember, I think that the Disney comics and the comics that Scrooge McDuck were based on were very early, you know, 60s, 1960s
right.
comic books. And so I remember, you know, finding some as a kid in an antique shop or something like that. So I had a bunch of Scrooge McDuck comic books, but I have not purchased a Disney comic book in quite some time.
Yeah, I didn't even know they still made them.
But I think they're set in the comic industry now.
Yeah, with their acquisition of Marvel.
Yeah, that should work out pretty well.
Yeah. Next thing you know, we'll see Darkwing Duck with Spider-Man.
count on it. Iron Mouse and...
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Come on. I'm picturing Goof Rider with a
oh, God.
Dog skull on fire. Come on, dude. Money right there. It's money.
God, that's so funny. The success, let's talk about the international success really quick. The success of DuckTales led to the translation of the show into many languages. DuckTales was the first American animated TV series to be officially broadcast in syndication in the former Soviet Union, featured together with Chip 'n Dale's Rescue Rangers in a Sunday evening program titled Walt Disney Presents. The show premiered in 1991. The show's theme song, written by Mark Mueller, who we already had mentioned, originally sung by Jeff Peschetto, however, remained in English for a number of episodes. The first Russian version of the song was replaced midway through the series with an alternate rendition that contained completely different lyrics. Similarly, the German and Swedish versions changed the lyrics of the theme into local language halfway through the series. The series aired in India, dubbed in Hindi. In many countries, the DuckTales song was performed by well-known singers, like in Finland, where it was sung by...
Good luck with that.
Yeah, no, I ain't even reading his name, or his or her name, because I don't even know. I'm sorry. You know, I understand that most animation nowadays, whether it's regular, you know, American animation style, and even if it's, you know, anime or Japanime or whatever, like, I understand most of the studios are in Japan or wherever. I'm sorry. If you're going to put a cartoon, any cartoon, out into a different market, they should not be allowed to change your theme. We were talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. In the UK, it was called Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole opening sequence as we know it as American children was completely changed. I don't even think they had the rights. I would have to go back and look at the TMNT script that we did on Sunday with Mike Dodd. I don't even think that the entire lyrics were kept the same.
Really?
And that's an issue that Disney has had, will also have with Darkwing Duck. Apparently there are, I think, nine different versions of the Darkwing Duck theme. I believe so. Because of the fact that it's been put into different countries.
Right.
Stupid.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, exactly. on to the DVD releases. As of 2009, Walt Disney Studios Home Entertainment is in the process of releasing DuckTales on DVD. While three volumes have been released in Region 1, North America, one volume has been released in Region 2, United Kingdom. The episodes are in the order that they originally aired, except for the five-part serial Treasure of the Golden Suns, placed at the beginning of Volume 2. None of the DVD sets contain any special features. I'm sorry. Walt Disney, Disney is a huge corporation, and again, my issue with, I don't know if you remember these episodes of Thundercats, Lion-O's Trials.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the best episodes.
Yeah.
We had to fight everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
On the Thundercats DVDs, they are broken up. It's supposed to be a five-part episode set.
Right.
Broken up over two or three DVDs. In
what?
Whatever, yeah. I'll go look at them in a minute. But yeah, it doesn't go in order like it's supposed to. And that's
come on. Use your brain.
They put the five-part pilot or intro movie on the Volume 2 set and not the Volume 1 set. What the hell is wrong with you people?
Come on.
Special features on cartoons like this, it is a crime. You should have special features on DuckTales.
Well, I noticed that with I'll confess to this, and you can call me a girl if you want to. That's fine. I'm cool with it. I got the volume one and two of Gummy Bears. Not one special feature. So Disney's completely gypping us.
Yep.
Come on.
Well, Darkwing Duck doesn't have any special features either.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know if Tailspin does or not.
Come on. They tape everything. They get the animators, they get everything, so.
Oh, I know it.
Give me a break. I'm so spoiled rotten with these, like, the Masters Universe DVDs. They've got, you know, three, you know, vignettes per disc. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Plus compared
to this.
Script stuff.
Plus, yeah.
You know, stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The fourth volume of DuckTales is to be announced. Volume 1 was released on November 8th of 05, November 14th of 06 was Volume 2, and November 13th of 2007 was Volume 3. So, November's coming up. Maybe they'll release Volume 4. I don't know. I don't have these on DVD.
I don't either. I've seen them many times, and I kind of had that battle in my head. Do I need this? I have not quite crossed the line to buy them.
No.
I had
to get the Darkwing Duck DVDs. I had to.
Yeah, those are good.
Yes, I had to. So that's it for the Legacy segment. We are going to move into our final thoughts and then the closing. Final thoughts on this show. What would you say is your overall impression?
Overwhelmingly positive. I mean, so if I see a DuckTales T-shirt, I'm inclined to buy it. if I had the opportunity to play DuckTales on Nintendo, I'm down. The whole vibe is very nostalgic for me. Okay. Some things push my button, some things don't. But DuckTales was pretty darn awesome. So I have very fond memories of it, and I think if you've never seen DuckTales, then you're not doing yourself any favors. Go check it out now.
You know, this is one of the main things. After, 1987 was a big year. Obviously, Turtles came out. But, you know, everything else that we grew up with younger than that year had kind of died off. Thundercats was done.
Right.
Transformers was done. I believe G.I. Joe, the Sunbow series was done, or it was wrapping up. So with Turtles coming in, and then, of course, you have DuckTales and all these other shows between 87 and 93, or 92, and then, of course, the Disney Afternoon syndication from, 93 to, 96 or 97. That was the one thing I always remember, is coming home after school and watching the Disney Afternoon block.
Right.
Great cartoons, great Disney cartoons, and it's just completely, completely awesome. Do you have anything you would like to plug before I go into the official outro, sir?
Yes. You can definitely check out I'm just a rookie. I only have two podcasts. I don't have eight. But you can definitely check both those out, chickenpotpod.com. We are fastly approaching episode 50. For Chicken Pot Pop, it's going to be a big video episode celebration deal, so look forward to that in the next few weeks. Also, our new wrestling podcast, FoldingChairCast.com, you can check it out there. And if you're into wrestling, you used to be into wrestling, we do go old school and talk about retro stuff as well as the current stuff, so check that out too. So that's it.
Technically, you guys would be over 50 with all these 48.5.
I actually think it's like 85 total.
God.
And we're a bunch of liars. We're like, yeah, episode 50. We're full of it.
Yeah.
So if someone was like 85 or something like that total.
Yeah.
But but time flies when you're having fun.
Oh yeah, and I think we have close to 12, maybe. I would have to count them all, but we have close to maybe 12 to 15 shows that we do.
You know, it's funny. You're planned through like 50-something. I don't know what we're talking about this coming Monday. I have no clue. So
yeah,
you're on top of the game, man.
Yeah, well, I have a hell of a lot more time on my hands.
Well, and we try. We've already kind of covered the gambit, so we're always trying to think different things, and we try to be creative. I'd love the opportunity just to take one cartoon and dissect it. So I might rip off that idea from you. I'll give you a little bit of credit for it.
All right. So thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. The first is you can visit www.geekcastradio.com and find all the other GCRN podcasts there. The second is you can stop by www.predaconempire.com/CafeSpark and get all your GCRN/Transformers discussion topics there. Those are our forums. The third is you can leave the show feedback on iTunes. Yes, please do this. We crave 5-star feedback. Do it or I will hunt you down. The fourth is you can visit the earth-2.net forums and find our threads for the shows under the self-promotion section. And the fifth is the email address, which is grntunecast@gmail.com. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving the message for, and please leave a name, screen name, nickname, whatever. Don't just say, oh, hey, you know, tell us who you are and what you like about the shows. The number is 502-526-5821. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRN Tooncast. Mine is TFG1Mike, and what is your Twitter?
Mine is Chicken Pop Pod.
So we hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be reminiscing on Tailspin. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Chris Stapleton.
Saying the immortal words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out, and thank you for listening. Until next time.
Thank you all for being here today. I've called this press conference on behalf of myself, Ron Algar-Watt, and my co-creator, Matt Robotham, to inform you that once the current run of our award-winning webcomic Vengeance of the Interman is finished at the end of this year, we are hereby retiring from comics. No more webcomics for us. So that's why we brought you here, and we will now take your questions.
Al? There's no one here.
There's nobody here?
There's nobody here. Nobody read the comic.
Oh.
At all.
Oh.
Ever.
Well, we're doing a podcast now.
Yeah, we are doing a podcast now.
The Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of TuneCast coming this week.
Life is like a hurricane.